Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships,
and so much more.
Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
All right, now, thank you for tuning in to the GSMC MMA Podcast. This is episode 76. I am your host, Tate, and today I have Miss Sarah with me. How are you doing?
Well, I'm okay. I've been replaced.
You've been replaced. How have you been replaced?
I've been replaced. You don't ask me to come on the show very often anymore because you like Carmelo better than me.
That's okay.
I like Carmelo better than me too.
Well, you know, there's we've had a number of visitors lately, but there's always a place for you.
I know. I'm just being silly.
Okay, so this has been a very busy.
Holy cow! Yeah.
MMA news week. This is being recorded on Friday, right before the two big Bellator cards, which features Fedor versus Chael Sonnen and Ryan Bader versus Matt Mitrione.
Mm-hmm.
We will be talking about those fights on Sunday's episode. But today we decided to do, because there's so much news that's coming out, we decided to do a special just news update. There's a lot of fights that's been finalized. There's been a lot of news going on. And my favorite news partner is always Miss Sarah.
Oh, flattery.
Excellent.
I like it.
Okay, so now that everything has calmed down with the Khabib.
Has it calmed down?
Yes, versus Conor situation. A lot of things, has it really calmed down? Because there's been a lot of news that's been coming out about that as well. So, what do you have, Sarah?
I've got a few things. So, the first one I saw is that President Vladimir Putin, of Russia, says that Nurmagomedov doesn't deserve harsh punishment.
You know, I did see this, and I know when Khabib was getting it's Khabib now. I'm so used to saying Khabib now it's Khabib. The sad thing is I have the last name now, Nurmagomedov, but I do not, now I got to get used to going from Khabib to Habib. Habib, when he was talking about it, that he had a chance to talk to Vladimir Putin, he just seemed so happy because it was obvious that, Conor going to the World Cup with Vladimir Putin truly bugged him.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting a call from Vladimir Putin, who congratulated him on winning, and then later on Vladimir Putin coming out and talking about how he does not believe that Khabib deserves to be punished, you could tell that Khabib was really happy about that.
Mm-hmm. So they appeared together on state television and talked about things. And Putin actually kind of chastised him a little bit for his behavior.
And how did he do that?
Just said that he said, I will ask your dad not to punish you harshly, which I kind of thought was funny. But that he said that he got emotionally involved and he closely followed the fight. He said that he should restrain himself a little bit more, but that when he is attacked from outside, that Russia is a big family, and when he's attacked from outside, he may respond appropriately. So he kind of said, you know, maybe you should restrain yourself a little bit. But he said, in a family, anything can happen, but we never allow ourselves to go beyond certain limits.
You know, I kind of agree with Vladimir Putin on this one, that, you know, you have to restrain yourself sometimes. It's kind of funny that when you talk about growing up in a world where one of the things that, as a kid growing up, it's like, man, I just don't want to get in trouble with my dad. And I'm so, you know, so you try to make sure you don't get in trouble with dad. When you're a beeb and you're champion of the world, but if you listen to the interviews, he's still a little afraid of his dad. He doesn't want to get in trouble with dad.
Don't blame him.
How badass does your dad have to be that you can whoop the baddest fighters in the world, but yet you can still get a little nervous about Daddy Nurmagomedov coming to see you and not being happy with you?
I just am going to say the man put his son in training with bears. He sounds like a rather formidable man to me.
Yeah, go outside and wrestle bear.
Right. You didn't clean your room? Go wrestle the bear.
Go wrestle. I promise, Dad. Okay, sorry.
Yes. But just to conclude what Putin said, that, you know, anything can happen in a family, he said, but if they attack us from outside, of course, not just you, all of us can jump in such a way they won't know what hit them.
I don't like that.
And he did caution him, saying it's better not to take things so far.
Yes, I don't agree with that one, because you're kind of inciting, like, hey, if it's on the street, it's okay to have a gang, you know, fight out there. Right. I'm not for that, but that is Vladimir Putin. we're in the Putin. Putin-Trump world nowadays. Not saying anything bad about either one of them. Just saying it is now definitely a very different world. Yes. What else do you have here?
Well, so moving on from Putin's response, it turns out that Khabib will not be stripped of the MMA title. So that came out just recently. He, of course, There was a lot of speculation as to what was going to happen after that, if he would be, how he would be, ramifications, whatever you want to say. Dana White's saying he absolutely keeps his title and he's going to get suspended. So, maybe a 4 to 6 month suspension.
Okay. Now, this has already came out. The Nevada State Athletic Association has already announced that they will be suspending Khabib and Conor. I don't quite know the extent of how they're going to get suspended. When everything first broke, I came out on this and said that I thought they should be fined, suspended, and I even went as far as to say that Khabib should be stripped of his title. And I still stand by that, even though I know it's not a popular statement.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have fighters jumping in the stands and fighting other fighters, other corner members, because it puts the paying audience in danger. And so it's one of those situations where I personally think that the UFC should have come out and made a harsh, harsh statement on you know, this, of him jumping the stands, going in the stands and fighting. But just like, I feel like the UFC is putting himself in a corner, because Conor attacks the bus, and I keep saying it in my head the way Khabib says. What did he say? He hurts bus?
Probably.
Conor hurts bus.
I'm not going to try to say that in Russian either, so thank goodness I don't have to speak in another language.
Conor hurts bus, and he did not get suspended or anything. He let out, Dana White let outside authorities fine and make sure, deliver whatever punishment he was going to receive. But then this time you look around And Dana White is doing the same thing, which is he's letting the Athletic Association, the Nevada State Athletic Association, handle all suspensions and all fines. I think it sets a slippery slope on and sets a precedent so that fighters should not, I mean, the fighters are not going to get suspended. It still makes me think about when John Jones got in the car accident, they immediately stripped him of the title.
Right.
But this time I find that, you know, no one was stripped and, you know, the suspension is going to come down from the Nevada State Athletic Association.
Right.
It is definitely changing the direction and how the UFC is going to be, you know, thought of as far as the way they're managing their fighters and managing things.
Now, the NAC is keeping his purse at the moment. So he hasn't gotten any of his prize money, and they're talking about keeping it. Dana White said he doesn't think that should happen, that they shouldn't be able to keep the whole purse, that they should take a fine or something of like $250,000.
Okay. This is misleading. I've been hearing a lot about this, but I want to make sure the record is set straight here. Yes, Khabib's purse is being held up. That's just the $2 million.
That doesn't count pay-per-view and stuff, right?
That doesn't count extra money he's getting from the UFC. It does not count any of the pay-per-view dollars, endorsements, anything. It's just the $2 million that Khabib is getting. And he's going to make way, way more than that. So it's actually a small percentage. Connor did not get his purse held up. Initially, the reason why Nevada State Athletic Association did not hold up Connor's purse is because when they initially looked at everything, they thought that Connor was in the clear. Now other footage show that Connor, when he was up on the fence, he did cold clock Khabib's. Yes, he did hit one of Khabib's corner men. So that's kind of coming out, and that's why it looks like Connors may get suspended as well. Anything else dealing with the Connor Khabib crazy situation, or do we go on break? Got one more?
I was just looking what's next for Connor, but it kind of just seems to be sort of recapping what we just talked about.
Okay.
All of that good stuff. So I think we can take a break if you'd like to take a break.
I think I will. We'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, we're back, and we were just covering all the news that's been going on about the Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Conor McGregor and the aftermath that has kind of come out.
So much aftermath.
Yes, there's still this. Actually, we could totally make this just the aftermath show of Conor.
I feel like you Khabib. Could do the next month of shows just on, you know, first just, it was the fight, then it was, I mean, it's crazy.
It's been so much. So we're going to move on.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about some other things in the news. So, what do you have, Miss Sarah?
So now we've got some Daniel Cormier news. First off, it was announced that Daniel Cormier will be fighting Derek Lewis.
Okay.
So that's a bit of a change from what
was
going on.
That was a massive, massive shocker to me when this was announced.
Sorry.
What's wrong?
I just can't think of Derek Lewis without laughing anymore.
Yeah.
And we don't need to rehash that, but good Lord.
But because of his, because of the fight with Connor, because of the fight that, fighting on the Connor Khabib card has made Derek Lewis a pay-per-view star. People, his Instagram grew by over a million people.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about him.
They're doing memes. They're doing videos. I mean, yeah, it's been crazy.
There's a little bit of everything going on. And the biggest shocker out there was that it's been set that in January, at the beginning of the year, that Daniel Cormier is going to be fighting Brock Lesnar for one of the biggest fights ever. And now there's a speed bump in there because all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the UFC announces that Derek Lewis is fighting Daniel Cormier. Yes.
On November 3rd.
Yes. And you know what, though? I understand why Daniel is doing this. He wants to be done and retired by the end of March. And I think his game plan is to fight Derek Lewis, and if he can squeeze in John Jones or Brock Lesnar, that's, you know, I think that's his next move.
Well, and that's,
you have some, I was gonna
yeah,
say,
that's the other, that's the other thing is that now it's not quite sure if he is going to fight Brock Lesnar or John Jones, no, or not or as in either one of them, but maybe Brock Lesnar, maybe John Jones. Not sure at this point.
Yes, I know. And it's one of those things where I kind of feel like Daniel sees this as a, and Daniel's a great guy and he deserves a victory lap. But I do feel like Daniel looks at this as an easy payday, an easy win to defend his title. Daniel is the better wrestler. Daniel is the better striker now. But when you look at Derek Lewis, he is a heavy-handed man. And so as long as Daniel does not get caught, I feel like it's a relatively easier fight.
Well, in terms of the odds makers, they were giving him 3-1 over Brock Lesnar, but 9-1 over Derek Lewis. So they're seeing it the same way.
You know, early predictions, I hadn't broke down either fight to see how I would really score it. But when I look at things and I start thinking about how this is going to go, I go through, and when I looked at the Daniel Cormier Brock Lesnar fight, I thought it was a bad matchup for Daniel. Daniel is a smaller, shorter fighter who deals with, who likes to get in close and like to wrestle. That is the wheelhouse that Brock Lesnar loves to be in. He's a much larger fighter. They're both world-class wrestlers. I thought this was a bad matchup for Daniel. But when I look at it and I see Derek Lewis, though, I think, talk about a way, as long as Daniel does not get caught, Daniel's wrestling would be a big problem for Derek Lewis. You could keep him on the ground, you could grind him out, wear him out, and then finish him off. It's very similar to the Rumble Johnson, but a little less dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my take on that one.
Well, and there's already been some rumblings because the UFC hasn't stripped him of his light heavyweight title, but it hasn't been that long since he defended it. I mean, we've gone way longer on other titles that were vacant.
Yeah, when they were talking about the Brock Lesnar fight, I was thinking, yes, it's time to strip him of the title because he's going to be fighting Brock Lesnar in January, February, March, some round in that time. And then he has already said he has no plans on fighting past March. Well, that means he has no plans on defending the light heavyweight title. But now with the Derek Lewis announcement that the fight's going to happen, when did you say it was again?
November 3rd.
November 3rd. That means that there is room for a Daniel Cormier light heavyweight title defense, which I kind of think it's going to be, if he gets through, it doesn't matter if he gets through, but if he, after the Derrick Lewis fight, as long as he doesn't get injured, I could see him maybe in March for his final fight defending the light heavyweight title.
Do you think that would be against John Jones again?
This is one of the news stories that I was going to wait. I didn't want to steal your thunder because
well,
there's another news story that just came out. What is that news story?
Well, the other news story is that, I mean, we do know that his suspension has been, what did they say, served with?
Yes, he's served a suspension.
Right. That
and he's eligible to fight again.
Now returning to the octagon for UFC 232, and that's against Alexander Gustafsson, and that's in December.
Yes, that's the big announcement. You buried the lead, and the lead is that
just trying to, you know,
get John Jones is back, and he will be fighting Gustafsson. The John Jones Gustafsson fight, in my opinion, is the greatest fight in the history of the UFC. Matter of fact, I'll take it back. It's my favorite fight in the history of MMA. There's never been a fight so close than this fight. Some people thought Alexander Gustafsson won. Some people thought John Jones won. I thought John Jones won. But by the narrowest margin, they tried to kill each other in the ring. As a matter of fact, honestly, I feel like Gustafsson still had, it took him, Gustafsson, a very long time to recover from that fight. Those guys really took it to each other. I am super excited. It really makes it so this card between that the pay-per-view event with John Jones and Gustafsson is going to be a must-see fight. First off, the rematch of maybe the greatest fight in history, and then possibly the biggest female fight in history, which would be Amanda Nunes versus Chris Cyborg, is also on that same card, I believe.
Oh.
So when you're looking at this card and you're looking at having those four fights, I'm already going to say you can put me down for that one, because that is going to be must-see viewing. What else do you have there?
Well, we've pretty much covered kind of the basics of that. I did see that initially Derrick Lewis was put on a 30-day medical suspension, but that's he wouldn't have been able to fight November 3rd, and so clearly that's been removed.
Yes, and medical suspensions are kind of it's one of those things where when you first look at an injury, you just slap a number on it, but as someone heals up, the doctor, you can get that removed. I don't see that being a hurdle whatsoever. One of the things that that makes Derrick Lewis so refreshing, though, is
blatant honesty.
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Is his blatant honesty. And one article that I saw, Derrick Lewis talked about how he does not deserve a title shot, that he actually thinks that Stipe deserves a title shot. But, being honest, he's going to take that title shot. But that's what makes Derrick Lewis such a fan favorite, is the fact that he can look at himself and give an honest assessment of how bad he fought, how great he is, and whether he's deserving of a title shot or not. So he thought that he's not deserving, that Stipe deserves a shot, but he's going to take it. So when we come back, we're going to hit a couple more news stories, and then we're going to wrap it up. Stay tuned.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
All right, we're back, and we were just talking about the news that Daniel Cormier will be fighting the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, and how shocked we were that that fight is going to happen, and the possibility that the Brock Lesnar fight may not happen at all, and how all of a sudden we also have kind of like a light heavyweight situation where John Jones is fighting Alexander Gustafsson, and pretty much either I think the winner is going to either get Daniel Cormier maybe for his last fight or get crowned the interim champion or current champion. It's starting to look like there will not, you will not get Brock Lesnar, Daniel Cormier, and John Jones versus Daniel Cormier. I think you're only going to end up with one of those.
Well, there's not much time left. I mean, Daniel Cormier has been very clear that he wants to be done by March, which is his 40th birthday, and then he's retiring. So you can't really cram too much in there in the next, what is that, 5 months?
No, you know what, though? Hey, he keeps doing the surprise fights with like Derek Lewis and things like that. I did not see that coming in, not even on my radar. So, you know, Daniel is showing he's going to be a fighting champion. So we're still covering all the news that came out for and all the backlash from UFC 229. So what else do we have?
Well, in terms of UFC 230, that November 3rd fight, there's more news because Daniel Cormier and Derek Lewis have been announced as the main event, but the co-main event was supposed to be Dustin Poirier and Nate Diaz, but Dustin Poirier has suffered an undisclosed injury, and now that fight is off.
There is that's a shocker. Really, I think a lot of people are really looking forward to the Nate Diaz versus Dustin Poirier fight. It was kind of the situation where, depending on how well these guys did, they could be possibly, the winner could be possibly getting either Khabib Nurmagomedov or Conor McGregor. Now that fight's off. Now, it pretty much in my opinion, I think it pretty much clears the way for either a Conor rematch versus Khabib Nurmagomedov, or a Conor versus Nate rematch. No matter what, when you look at all the fights that are coming on, when you're talking about Derek Lewis versus Daniel Cormier, you're talking about John Jones versus Gustafsson, the possibility of a Khabib versus Conor rematch, Khabib versus Dustin Poirier, or a Tony Ferguson fight, or an Nate Diaz fight. When you look at all the big fights and the UFC rolling right into ESPN, the aftermath of this fight has just really set the UFC up. And when you really look at it and you say, when you look at what's happened, this whole Conor Khabib situation is actually a good thing, because it is buzzing and fights are being scheduled, and there's a lot of things going on. It is very unfortunate, because after an amazing card like this, to see the Diaz-Dustin Poirier fight being called off is just heartbreaking, because I was really looking forward to that. The fact that Derek Lewis, and they finally found the main event where it was now Derek Lewis versus Cormier. What else did you see about Poirier and Diaz? And do you know why he...
Well, he issued a tweet, but it doesn't actually tell us anything.
And what was the tweet?
So his tweet says, "Small setbacks happen." This is from yesterday, October 11th. "Small setbacks happen. I'm flying out to LA next week to get a second opinion on my injury, and I'll have an idea of when I can return to compete. I can't wait to get back in the octagon. Thank you for all the support." So, injury. He has okay,
that is very, very vague. A second opinion on the injury, that could be anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really can. It's do I need to have surgery? Or do I need rehab? It could be anything from labrum to a knee injury to a torn muscle to a pec. It can be anything.
Well, and he's saying, small setbacks, but he's a fighter. A small setback for him could be like something just ginormously major
for an NFL player, yes.
or just us normal people.
Exactly. So we hope they can reschedule that fight, but we will see. What else do you have?
Well, moving on. So this is good news for you. When
I'm already smiling because I think I know which one you're going with.
When the Shevchenko and Nico Montoya.
Yes.
Montoya. Are we sure?
Now you get me.
I'll look it up because we said it wrong last
time. Nico Montoya. Yes.
Okay. Anyway, yes. When that fight was canceled, you said it should be that they should just get Joanna to fill in at the last minute.
And they did, and then they canceled.
Not the last minute.
Right, but yes.
Then it was announced that they were going to fight. And then it was announced that they weren't going to fight. And guess what? Now they are going to fight.
You know, this is... I feel like I don't know what to say about this. Initially, I was so stoked over having... This is the third fight or fourth fight between Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Valentina Shevchenko. The first two was in Muay Thai, and now they're finally going to meet in an MMA ring. And I was super excited when they first announced this, but then they were desperately trying to get a main event for the Diaz card, the Diaz Poirier card. That they canceled that fight and they put Sanjarjo Eubanks on
Sarge
on the main event against Valentina Shevchenko for the title and canceled the Joanna Jędrzejczyk fight. A lot of backlash came because on the Joe Rogan show, he came out and admitted that he did not know who Sarge was. And then Brandon Schaub admitted that he didn't know who she was. And a number of people had no clue who Sarge is. And just to let you guys know who she is.
And it is Sijara. You were close.
That's what I said. Yeah. Sijara, yes.
No, Sijara, no
Sijara. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, but anyway.
Don't send us mail.
Sarge has been fighting in Invicta for quite a while. But she made her name from The Ultimate Fighter, where she had great success. She was supposed to fight Nico Montoya for the inaugural flyweight title. Was it flyweight or featherweight? I get them all right. Flyweight title, yes.
Okay. I'm going to take your word on that.
I always get those two mixed up.
Flyweight, yeah.
The inaugural flyweight title was supposed to be... Nico versus Sarge. Sarge at the last minute did not make weight.
That division is having terrible trouble with people not making weight.
Yes. So Sarge was supposed to be the first person to ever. It was supposed to determine who was supposed to fight. It was supposed to be Sarge. So Sarge has been in line for a title shot. Just. No one really knows her unless you watch The Ultimate Fighter or you watch Invicta. She's a talented fighter, but no offense, I don't look at her on the same level as these two downright stone cold killers. I look at
well, and just in terms of if you mention the name Joanna Jędrzejczyk or Valentina Shevchenko, chances are really good that most people, even if they're just barely fight fans,
star
are going
power.
To have heard those names.
Absolute star power, and both of these guys are just at the top of their game. When you look around and you look at Valentina Shevchenko, who fought Amanda Nunes, who is fighting Cyborg in a super fight, I thought Valentina won, clearly won the second one, but I thought she won both of the first time, first two times they fought. And then Joanna Jędrzejczyk, one of the longest reigning women's champions of all time, just this amazing bantamweight champion who's just recently lost her title in a very close, controversial. The first one was she lost it, but in a rematch, lost a close, controversial decision. She is definitely due for, she's definitely you know, the best match to be made is the UFC rectifying it, canceling the Sarge fight, and moving it back to Joanna versus Valentina. That's the fight to have.
They didn't cancel the Sajara Eubanks fight, but it's been this whole like mixing it around. So Shevchenko and Jędrzejczyk remain on where they originally were placed, which is right. 231. Eubanks remains on UFC 230, where they were going to move Shevchenko, but now she's fighting Roxanne Modafari.
And I think this is a good fight for Sarge. Roxanne Modafari is a very well known fighter in the women's MMA world, and the big complaint on Sarge was nobody knows who she is. Well, because of the fact that it was such a big deal about this, putting her in a ring with this legendary vet, Roxanne Modafari, gives her a little bit of a chance to just display her skills. And if Sarge wins, then she's next in line for a title shot. I personally think this was the best move and the right move, I think, to really launch the flyweight division. The best way to launch, to really get the flyweight division off the ground, is to have that Valentina Joanna fight. And then they already have a built-in second fight already. If Sarge beats Roxanne Modafari, then you have that. And no matter what, you also still can fall back and even give Nico a shot back at fighting for her title. So it really does set the flyweight division up for the 2019 year. What else do we have before we wrap things up here?
Well, those were the things that we covered. Is there anything else that you had wanted to talk about that we didn't get to?
Let's see.
There's a million things we could talk about, I should point out.
There's been so many fights.
There's been fights announced. There's been other kinds of news. There's just been a lot.
I know that Nick Diaz said I saw an article where Nick Diaz talked about how he could take Conor McGregor or Khabib. And that, you know, kind of implying that he would be open to fighting Conor or Khabib. And then...
when did he fight last?
Oh, I think it was like back in 72.
That's what I was going to say.
During Carter's election. Yeah, it's been that long. And then Jose Aldo was talking about how it's time for them two to have their rematch. And he wants to fight Conor. That fight's never happening.
Everyone wants to fight Conor. Do you want to fight Conor?
Actually, I would fight Conor in a second. With the paydays, that are delivered. And I wouldn't be one of those guys that would just be like, I'm going to, you know, lay down after the first punch. I would totally fight him. It would be like CM Punk versus Conor McGregor. He would whoop my butt, but I got paid. I would try to put up a fight, but he would crush me.
I would celebrate with you, but I would not watch it.
So with that, this concludes our news episode of the GSMC MMA podcast. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Bellator has two cards back to back this Friday and Saturday. So enjoy. And on Sunday, we'll be recapping both of the two Bellator events. And with that, to all, have a good night.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.golden.com. GSMCpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.